Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to the book of Acts, and we're in the ninth chapter. And while you're turning, I just want to say that we have some special guests today. Chris and Katarina Woods and Evie are here. You guys stand up. Can we just welcome them? What a blessing to have them here. I told Chris, I said, Chris, what's the deal, man? Why are you back? He said, well, I just wanted to get some good preaching. I'm just kidding. He didn't say that. We have all kinds of people here at North Central, and all people are welcome here. Every race, every skin color. We come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single, some are married, some have been married a long time, and some just got married. Some have kids, some don't have kids. Many here today are believers. Many watching us today are believers, but not all. But we're all here today because we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Our Lord compels this church to share Jesus and make disciples who will in turn make disciples. And because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is, say it with me, wonderful. Jesus is wonderful. I know that Robert greeted all the dads, and I just want to say happy Father's Day to all the dads today. What a blessing it is that we get the opportunity to gather together and worship the Lord on this special day where we honor the dads, and not just physical dads, but spiritual dads in our lives. And what a blessing that is. Find your place in Acts chapter 9. And I'm going to read our text of Scripture. We're going to begin with verse 32. And this is a section about Peter and his and two healings that he did. And then I'd like to summarize some of that and have look at some lessons that we can learn on this Father's Day from the life of Peter. The Scripture says in Acts chapter 9, verse 32. You follow along in your copy of God's Word. I'll read from mine. It says, now it came to pass as Peter went through all parts of the country that he also came down to the saints who dwelt in Lydda. There he found a certain man, Aeneas, who had been bedridden 8 years and was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, as Jesus Christ, he says to Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed. And he arose immediately, so all who dwelt in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. That Sharon is the plain, kind of the region where Lydda, that little town, was. At Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa, it was about 12 miles away, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. So it was that he stayed many days in Joppa with Simon, a tanner. Now, last week, Saul was on the run, and he was running in Damascus. He was running in Jerusalem. They moved him to Caesarea and then on to Tarsus. And now we come to this section where Peter had been traveling all around in Samaria. There's a road that goes from Jerusalem to the coastline and ends in Joppa. And in the middle of that road is this little town, Lydda. So here we have Peter going to two different towns on the way to the coast from Jerusalem, Lydda and Joppa. And so we learn about Peter. Now, what can we learn about this man, Peter? Well, he is seemingly the leader of the apostles. You remember, he's the one who preached in Acts chapter 2. Now, today I'm going to be looking at a number of passages that kind of look at the life of Peter. And one of these is Acts chapter 2, so you're welcome to follow along, or you can I'll read it for us. Acts chapter 2, verse 14 says, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, 'Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk.'" Remember, this was on the day of Pentecost when the church was born. He says, "For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day." And so Peter was the guy leading out. He was in some sense, the head of the apostles. He was the spokesperson for them. And we see that all through the early chapters. You remember, as we've studied the book of Acts, it is broken into three sections: bold beginnings, the bold beginnings of the New Testament church. And now we're in the section, the church expanding. It's leaving Jerusalem and it's expanding into Samaria, Judea and Samaria. And then the third section is found in the book of chapter 1, verse 8, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. So there are three sections: Jerusalem, number two is Judea and Samaria, which is what we're in now. And then in chapter 12, we'll go into the uttermost parts of the earth. But Peter seems to be the leader. Remember when they hauled in the apostles after they had healed the man at the temple? You remember that story where they said, "Silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk." And because of that, he stirred up the religious leaders. Well, we find that passage in Acts chapter 4, verses 7 through 10, where Peter is the leader. And when he's called in and confronted, he is the spokesperson. In Acts chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to the religious leaders, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, 'If we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole.'" So Peter was the leader. He was the one called in and questioned. He's the one that says, "Look, we did it in the name of Jesus Christ." We also know from Scripture and history that Peter was a husband and Peter was a father. Now, sometimes we don't think about these apostles in this way. All of them perhaps were not, but Peter was. Matter of fact, in Mark chapter 1, verses 29 through 31, it talks about Peter's mother-in-law. So his wife's mother was there, who was perhaps living with him, and she had a fever. She had a fever. And so the Lord Jesus touched her, and perhaps this was even the headquarters. Peter's home may have been Jesus' headquarters in Galilee. All right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 5, it says that Peter, along with other married apostles, often took his wife with him on his missionary journeys. Unless you really dig around into the text, you don't realize that. Sometimes we think these apostles, we hear the stories of what they did, and we don't realize that Peter was a husband. Now, we don't have this from Scripture, but we have it from history and tradition. Clement of Alexandria discusses the children of Peter. So as we think about that, I got to thinking about today being Father's Day. So today's going to be a little bit different. We're going to deal with our text today because we're in the book of Acts. But I thought about a message today entitled Father's Day Lessons from Peter. Peter was the great apostle and preacher, taker of the gospel, both in Jerusalem and then expanding the church. But he was also a husband. He was also a father. So I want us to study Peter's life briefly so as to be challenged in our own Christian life. And I think that this can be challenging for the ladies as well, but particularly because today's Father's Day, I wanted to major on this, all right? So there are three handles, and I'm going to be in different places in Scripture, but there are three handles that I want you to write down, okay? I want you to write this down. All right, lessons from Peter on Father's Day. Number one, you must answer the call to follow Jesus. You must answer the call to follow Jesus. Now, take your Bible and go back to John. I want you to find it. John, the first chapter, and I want you to go to verse 35. John 1, 35. This is when Peter first comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, all right? This is when he first comes to the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 1, verse 35. It says this, "Again the next day, John stood with two of his disciples." This is John the Baptist. "And looking at Jesus, he said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God.' Then two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned, and seeing them following, said to them, 'What do you seek?' They said to him, 'Rabbi,' which is translated teacher, 'where are you staying?'" Verse 39, "He said to them, 'Come and see.' They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day." Now it was about the 10th hour. Verse 40, "One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother." So here we see Simon Peter's name invoked in Scripture in John chapter 1, verse 40. Now look at verse 41. "He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, 'We have found the Messiah,'" which is translated the Christ, "and he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, 'You are Simon, the son of Jonah,'" or the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated "a stone." Now in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, we see where the Lord Jesus Christ comes to these men and he says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." All right? So you think about in Matthew 4:19, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." First of all, he says, "Follow me." That is the great word of the Bible, is the word "come." The Lord Jesus has called us to come. And so men, dads, one lesson from Peter that we would learn today, that's a challenge to me, is a challenge to you, is that we must answer the call to come and follow Jesus. Jesus said, "Follow me," and then he said this, "I will make you fishers of men." When I think about that phrase, "I will make you," I think about grace. So much of the religion of this world says this, "Come and let me tell you what you're supposed to do. Let me give you a list of do's and don'ts." Most of the religions of the world, the way you gain acceptance from God is by the way you act, by the things you do, by the works that you commit yourself to. In some religions, it's denying the flesh. It is taking a vow of some type of poverty, perhaps, or a vow in some way to mortify the flesh, because there is the thought that the flesh is evil. So he says, and in most religions, that's the way it is. You are to come, and to gain acceptance with God, you must do something. But let me tell you, Christianity is different. Jesus said to Peter, he said, "Follow me, and I will make you." God is going to take the initiative to make you into something. So dad, you say, "Well, I'm not adequate sometimes. I feel inadequate to do what I think the Lord wants me to do." Well, let me just say this to you. You give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will make you into something. And he says, "I will make you fishers of men." He gives you a purpose. So the truth is, the very first principle that we need to learn from Peter on Father's Day is this. We must answer the call to follow Jesus. Pascal, the philosopher, said this, in every person there's a God-shaped vacuum. In other words, there's a missing puzzle piece. There's a vacuum in the heart of man, and the only way to fill it is to fill it with God, to fill it with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way you're going to find true joy. Most of our life, we try to find what is going to make us happy, what is going to make us whole. Pascal said it is a God-shaped vacuum. And until you find the Lord Jesus Christ, and as we look around in our culture today, people looking for happiness, people looking for wholeness, people looking to understand what life is all about, and what do? They try to fill that shape, that hole, with amusement, maybe with money, maybe with power, maybe in some type of relationship, maybe thinking that some relationship is going to meet that deepest need. You think about most of the music of the world. Just think about this. Most of the music of the world is about things that we think will make us happy. We sing about it. We long for it. Dads and men, and I'm reminding myself of this today, we have a lesson on Father's Day today from a great apostle. When Jesus called him, the Bible says they left their nets and they followed him. Can I tell you this? Every time I've ever done what I knew Jesus was calling me to do, it brought joy to me. Every time I've gone my own way and made my own decision because I was smarter than God, it's brought tragedy. The first lesson, I think, from Peter, he faced the religious leaders. He was the spokesman for the apostles. He was the great preacher at Pentecost. But I think fundamentally the lesson from him, number one, is we must answer the call to follow Jesus. And so men, and I would say ladies today, have we done that? Have we answered the call to follow Jesus? Here's the second thing I think about from the life of Peter. Lessons. Father's Day lessons from Peter. Number two, you must make Jesus Lord and be teachable. Be teachable. The Bible says that the word meekness is the word teachableness. There's not a lot of meekness in the world. There's a lot of boldness. There's a lot of brashness. There's a lot of power being thrown around, but is there meekness, those men willing to learn? I think about Peter. He was hard to learn this lesson. You know about Peter, don't you? Peter was the man who rebuked Jesus. Can you imagine? Can you imagine being with the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and you rebuked him? Listen to this. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 21 through 23, it says this. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and raised on the third day. So Jesus was telling his disciples, look, I've got to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be crucified, but I'm going to rise on the third day. And look at verse 22. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. Peter was a brash fisherman. Peter was the kind of guy that he ran his life, and when he got a hunch about something, he did it. You know anybody like that? If you're not sure, look in the mirror. So he says to Jesus, that's not going to happen, and he rebuked the Lord Jesus. And here's what Jesus said to him, get behind me, Satan. Jesus said, "You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." So when I say make Jesus the Lord, principle number two, and be teachable, is to realize that sometimes your hunch about things, men, is not the way to go. You need to listen to God's word. You need to listen to Jesus in the way you live. You remember Peter, he was brash. He's the one that walked on the water. You remember that story in Matthew chapter 14? It says Jesus was on the water and they were in the boat. And Jesus spoke to them saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." You got to hand it to Peter. He was bold and he wanted to do some things. And so the Lord said, "Come on," but he got to looking. He jumped out of that boat. Boy, he's looking at the Lord, and all of a sudden that waves. He started feeling that water. He started looking around and blah, 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 blah. That's what happens to me when I take my eyes off Jesus. That's what happens to me when I'm not humble and teachable. So you had that experience. Then Peter wanted, remember Peter was, it was Peter, James, and John who went with the Lord on the Mount of what? Transfiguration. He went on the Mount of Transfiguration, and up there, Moses and Elijah were up there. Well, here's Peter. Man, he was bold. Everybody's real quiet about everything because here's the Lord Jesus Christ, and here is all these patriarchs that are up there having conversations with the Lord Jesus Christ, Moses and Elijah. And Peter speaks up. He says, Peter answered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Well, I tell you what, Peter was a type A guy. He's trying to take charge of everything. And he says, I want to do that. I want three tents made, three tabernacles made, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, because he did not know what to say, for they were greatly afraid. Sometimes if you don't know what to say, just don't say anything. But here was Peter. He said, "I want to make these tents." Then you remember when they came and arrested Jesus, what did Peter do? Man, he got out the sword. Man, I like Peter. Peter had a sword. He took out a knife or a sword, and he attacked the people that were arresting Jesus. Now, in all the Gospels, it just says that Peter attacked them. But in John is where it's revealed that it was Peter. It's revealed in John chapter 18, verse 10. It says, "Then Simon Peter, having a sword, he drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus." So it's the only passage that tells us the name of the servant. So here's Peter, and he does that. And then what did the Lord do? The Lord healed him. The Lord's always fixing Peter's issues, all right? Then probably what Peter is most known for was his denial of Jesus. I'm thinking about lessons today, Father's Day lessons from the life of Peter. You need to answer the call to follow him, but you must make Jesus Lord and you must be teachable. Well, Peter had said he would never deny the Lord. The Lord said, "Before the cock crows three times, you will have denied me. Before the cock crows, you will have denied me three times." And we find in Matthew chapter 26, it says, "Now as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, 'You also were with Jesus of Nazareth.' But he denied it, saying, 'I neither know nor understand what you're saying.' And he went out to the porch, and the rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, 'This is one of them,' but he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, 'Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it.' Then he began to curse He began to curse and swear. And he said, I do not know this man of whom you speak. A second time the rooster crowed, then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. And when he thought about it, he wept. But in this bold fisherman, you wonder, did he ever learn his lesson? Do you ever disappoint the Lord? And can I tell you this? Dads, granddads, hey, I'm in that crowd now. The Lord's grace is so powerful. Because do you know that when the disciples came to the tomb, the angel said, I want you to go tell his disciples that he's risen. Go tell his disciples. And then this little two extra words, and Peter. Go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you. Can you imagine what Peter was feeling like? He had denied the Lord. He had followed the Lord into that courtyard, and he was watching the proceedings, but he was warming by the fire. And as that girl came and said, hey, aren't you one of his followers? He denied the Lord, and even denied with cursing. I'm sure he felt such betrayal. He had betrayed the Lord. And yet the grace of God is so powerful because the Lord made it work out. So he said, I want you to go tell his disciples I've risen. And by the way, tell Peter too. You say, you know what? I'm too far gone. I've made so many bad decisions in my life. I've messed up so many times. I've done things I shouldn't have done. I've messed up. Can I tell you this? You are a good candidate for the grace of Jesus. You are a good candidate, men, for one who would say, you know what? Even though I may wonder if the Lord could use me in some way, you're a good candidate to be used by the Lord. Well, I want you to know that he learned his lesson, and this is the lesson that I have for us today, because when he wrote his epistle, when he wrote his letter, in 1 Peter chapter 5, listen to the words of Peter. He said, yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. Now, wait a minute, you're talking about a guy that said, Lord, let me jump out of the boat. Lord, let's put up tents. Lord, I rebuke you for saying you're going to die on the cross. And now he's saying in his own book years later, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. You know, that verse 7 is a very familiar verse. A lot of times we quote that. Let's cast all of our care upon him because he cares for us. You know who wrote that? This brash fisherman. This man who was a man's man, who realized later in life, you know what? I need to be teachable. I need to be humble before Almighty God. Are you teachable today? Father's Day lessons from the life of Peter. You must answer the call to follow Jesus. You must make Jesus Lord and be teachable. Here's the last thing we've done, and it's from our text today. You must share Christ with others. If you look at our text, he goes to Aeneas, who's bedridden 8 years, paralyzed, and he tells him, in the passage today, back in the book of Acts, we're in Acts chapter 9, he tells Aeneas in verse 34, he said to him, Jesus the Christ heals you, arise, make your bed, and he arose immediately. He is sharing the glorious message of Christ and his healing power with Aeneas. And the Bible says in verse 35, it says, and those that saw him and they turned to the Lord. It says that they turned to the Lord in verse 35. That's only one of two occasions that phrase is ever used in the Bible, in the book of Acts, that they turned to the Lord. And then the second thing, he goes to Tabitha. Tabitha or Dorcas, that's a word that means gazelle. It's a metaphor for a beloved person. You learn that from the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 9, and chapter 8, verse 14. And this was evidently a lady who had made garments for the widows. Because if you notice, all the widows, when they came, when Peter came, all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and the garments which Dorcas had made while she was with him. But Peter put them all out, and he knelt down and prayed. He got down on his knees, he knelt down and he prayed. And turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and the widows, he presented her alive. Now look at this, verse 42. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. That's another phrase. Means the same thing. In verse 35, it says they turned to the Lord. And then in verse 42, it says they believed on the Lord. It's another way to describe salvation. Turning to the Lord. Turning to the Lord, or believing on the Lord. And so here in our text today, we see this great principle that Peter lived out. And it's a principle we can learn today, and that is that we must share Christ with others. I think about the impact of dads. I recently, you know, when you get a little bit older, you start getting interested in some of your history, your family history. I have an older cousin who lives in North Carolina, and back in 2017, I called him up. I said, "Paul," his name is Paul Carr. I have a son, Paul Carr, but this was my father's brother's son. He's the oldest living cousin on my level, and he said, I said, "Paul, I want to come up there and see you," and he said, "You come, and I'll gather the family." So we all got together, and Kelly and I were there, and they said, "This is CJ's boy." That's my dad, CJ's boy. There's something about a son that takes pride, in a good kind of pride, in a good way, the legacy that he is given by his dad. And when my cousin Paul was talking to all of us, and by the way, they were all from different parts of that part of North Carolina, but they all came together. Why? Because CJ's boy, me, was going to come up there. I think about the relationship and the legacy that you can have with as a dad. There's a Spanish story of a father and a son who had become estranged. The son ran away, and the father set off to find him, and he searched for months to no avail. Finally, in a last desperate effort to find him, the father put an ad in a Madrid newspaper. The ad read, "Dear Paco," that was his son's name, "Dear Paco, meet me in front of this newspaper office at noon on Saturday." He said, "All is forgiven. I love you, your father." On Saturday, 800 Pacos showed up looking for forgiveness and love from their fathers. One day, you will be gone, and I will be gone. Our children will only have their memory of us. They will probably not remember your public life as much as they remember your private life. Bruce Lockerbie, in his book, father love, told the story. He said, when I was 11 years old, our family took a road trip from Toronto to eastern Ontario, to the north region of the St. Lawrence River. We went to the little town of Ventnor and Spencerville, and we arrived just before midnight. And we didn't, my father, who was driving, didn't know exactly where to go. Everybody had gone to bed, all the lights were out, but he needed help getting to the place that we were going to stay, to the old home place. And so he went up to a door. He knocked on the door. A couple minutes later, the yard light came on. Finally, an older man opened the door, and he said, I could hear my dad apologizing profusely for waking them up at midnight. But he said, I'm the son of Pearson Lockerbie. And the little boy who wrote about it later said, when he said the name of his father, everything changed. And he said, the man said, no, it's fine. Come on in, come on in, come on in. And then he said this, we knew your father. And as Bruce Lockerbie ended that book, he concluded with these words, that's the greatest legacy of all. So dads, today, as we think about Father's Day and we think about Father's Day lessons from Peter, I would say this to you. We get this from Peter. You must answer the call to follow Jesus. You must make Jesus Lord and be teachable. Then number three, you must share Christ with others. Our legacy is probably not going to be the size of our accounts, the properties we own, but it will be the private legacy of our commitment to our family, to our spouse, and to those that we have influenced for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I could submit to you that that is the greatest legacy of all. The little boy heard that man say, I knew your father. Come on in. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer today.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.